Welcome to our time of worship. It's again a privilege for us to be here and to come before the living God. Before we approach him, let's pray that our hearts might be prepared to meet with him today. So let us just pray silently. I'm going to begin by reading from Psalm 145, and we're going to read verses 1 to 7 as our call to worship. It's a psalm of praise of David. Let us hear God's word. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. Well, let us come before our God now in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it calls us to come into your presence. There is none like you. Your greatness is unsearchable, and we desire to meditate upon all of your mighty acts. Please, our God, be with us. Please glorify your name in this time of worship. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us sing our first hymn together. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Sisters draw.
bow for a moment in prayer as we confess our sins to our God. Let us pray. Our Father, indeed, it is good for us to be here before you. And it is good for us to acknowledge our sins, to acknowledge our fallen nature, to acknowledge the ways that we have gone astray and have offended you. Ah, please, our God, again look with favour upon us and forgive us, we ask, for the sake of your dear Son. Oh, we praise you how the Lord Jesus came into this world to die upon a cross for sinners. And we are sinners, great sinners. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth that he paid for every last one on the cross, even for those yet to be done. Oh, Lord, we want to come and we want to rest in you. Please be with us. Please continue to work in our lives. We even ask you, Lord, to graciously show us our own sinfulness and those ways that we need to turn away. Please be with us and continue your sanctifying work, that the image of your Son might be more clearly seen in us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us hear from God's word, from John 3 and verse 16 to 18. John 3, 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, brethren, let us take these words to heart, these well-known words, and let us fix our eyes completely on Jesus, who alone can save us from the coming wrath. Let us sing now, how deep the Father's love for us.
A wretch's dress.
Father, we thank you for yet another day of your grace. We thank you, Lord, that your kindness is seen every morning as we awake. And we remember, Father, that this is another day where you are holding back your judgment, another day where you are showing great patience. Our Father, we come and we bring ourselves to you as needy people. And we acknowledge, our Father, just how much we need you. You are the one that feeds us. You provide all of our needs. You sustain our lives. The very reason why we take another breath is because of your will. Lord, you continue to uphold this whole world. It is not dependent on the laws of nature, but it is dependent upon you, the living and true God, the God who is life. Father, we thank you that we can come and approach you today. And Lord, we ask for your mercy upon each one of us. You know the struggles we have, you know the battles we're facing, whether it is being in isolation or whether it is other physical and medical issues, whether it's matters of the soul, whether it's sins we're struggling with or other battles, trials and temptations. Lord, you know us through and through, and we come and we lay ourselves at your feet, our God. Please, our God, be with us. Please be with us. Father, we bring our world. We continue to pray for our leaders and the decisions they make in dealing with the virus. And we pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. We pray that they would act in full knowledge and understanding. And we pray that they would make decisions that are truly good for the people they represent. We pray, Father, that they would also make good decisions for the good of your church. And Lord, we pray that in no way will this time hinder your work. We thank you that the kingdom of Jesus advances. No matter what obstacles there may be, there are no obstacles before you, our God. All is but flat ground to you. And so, Father, we look to you and we pray that your eternal purposes would continue to unfold, and more and more your people would be growing and maturing in the faith. Even through this trial, we know, Father, that you use trials to refine us. They're as fire to refine gold and silver. And so our faith also comes through more pure. Lord, we ask that you would also spread the gospel. We pray that this time would not at all hinder this spread, but would be bring new opportunities for the message of Christ to go out. Oh Lord, how needy this world is. How much they need to hear about the Savior who has come from heaven to pay the price of human sin and rise from the dead as victor, conqueror. Because we all are people that will die. And we all are people that will stand before you in judgment. And what is most vital is to know that mediator, that one mediator between God and man. What is most vital is to have an advocate, one who speaks in our defense on that day and will rise and speak for our acquittal. And so, O Lord, we pray that in these times people will hear of this message. Even our friends and family members. Oh, how we long for them to hear with understanding. Our God, we pray, not only will they hear with the outward ear, but may you give them spiritual ears. May you tear out the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, that they may respond in obedience, the obedience of faith, and with great joy to your offer of salvation. Father, we know that this is the need of the whole world. And this has been the need since the fall of man. And it will continue to be the greatest need of man until history comes to a close. And so, Father, may these purposes go on. May we as your people have our sights upon what is really important and what you are doing. As Jesus told us, that we should seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. May we not lose sight of these things. And we pray in these days that we would not slacken our pace as we run toward the finishing line. But may this time give us much opportunity for reflection and spiritual meditation, time in your word and in prayer, so that in fact this time will have proved to be of great spiritual advantage to us. So, our God, we pray that you would hear us in these things. And Lord, we ask that you would continue with us in our time of worship, and we may rejoice greatly in who you are. We may rejoice greatly in your presence. We might see you a little more as you really are, and our hearts may overflow with praise for your name. So hear us, our God, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn now to the scriptures. And our first reading is from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read 1 to 17. This is the Ten Commandments. Later on, we're going to focus our time on the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day. But I thought as our first reading, we'll read the entire Ten Commandments. Let us hear then God's word. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. Well, thanks be to God for his holy word. Let's sing together, Come, Holy Ghost. Prayer and ask for God's gracious spirit to be with us as we ponder his word together. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to spend time in your word. We thank you that you still speak today. And you speak to our hearts through your written scriptures and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Our God, we pray that you may be with us and you may bless this time. You may make us attentive. We may sit before you with all humility, acknowledging that these are your words. May we hear them. Hear us, Lord, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn now to our second reading, to be found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 12 right through to chapter 4 and verse 11. I'm not going to be preaching from this verse, although I will make some reference to it. So let us again hear God's word. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had the good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this passage, "They shall not enter my rest." Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, "After so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. We live in this world, but we are called to be distinct from it. Jesus said concerning his followers that they are not of this world, just as he was not of this world. Now, the challenge for us is to live consistently with this truth. And one help that God has given to us is a Sabbath day or a rest day. This has been much neglected by the church in our country, in our day. And today, it can be hard to distinguish Christians from the world in terms of the way we live, in terms of lifestyle and moral choices. Part of the problem, I believe, is the neglect of the Sabbath day. In our time together, and in this broader study of being in the world but not of it, we're going to think together about this gracious provision of God, this Sabbath day. In our time together, we're going to spend some time thinking about the need for a Sabbath day. That's our first point. And we're going to look at some various scriptures as we consider the need for the Sabbath day. Then secondly, we're going to think about the Sabbath in terms of it as a reminder that we are a set apart people. And then lastly, we're going to see how the Sabbath reminds us that we're a people that belong to another world. So we're going to see there the future orientation of the Sabbath day. So let us begin then by considering together the need of a Sabbath day. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, Jesus was in the midst of a dispute with the religious leaders over what his disciples were doing on the Sabbath day. They were picking grain. And in the midst of Jesus' response to these religious leaders, he says in Mark 2 and verse 27, he says, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man. God made the Sabbath, or the rest day, for man's good, for man's blessing. This God who is infinite in wisdom, as well as infinite in goodness, made this special day to meet human needs. The Sabbath was made for man. Now, Jesus' words here remind us of the original institution of the Sabbath day on the seventh day of the creation week. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read that having completed all of the creation of this world, God created a rest day. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3, "By the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So here we see God himself creating the world in 6 days, and then creating this rest day and setting it apart, sanctifying it and blessing it. And although it doesn't state it so clearly there in Genesis 2, God was doing that intending that we follow the pattern that he set. That which is implied there in Genesis chapter 2 is stated clearly in Exodus chapter 20 in the command we read earlier, the fourth commandment. After saying, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, and the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord. You shouldn't do any work." Verse 11 says, gives us the reason why they were to observe this command. Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." God made it holy. Therefore they were to remember this day and keep it holy. Now, a question that we must grapple with is this. Why was a Sabbath day, a rest day, necessary in an unfallen world? Why was it necessary for Adam and Eve to rest? Presumably, Adam's work before the fall was not toilsome. Only after the fall did God say that now you've got to work by the sweat of your brow. But presumably it wasn't of that nature. Nor was Adam's work constant. That is, I don't think he was going to have to work 24 hours a day. He had time for rest and relaxation in the evening of every day. Why was it necessary? Well, I think to understand this a little more, we've got to go back to what is said in Genesis 2 of God's rest. God is the pattern of both work and rest. What was going on there? Why did God rest on the seventh day? Certainly, it was about ceasing from labor. He'd created 6 days, he'd finished his work, he rested, ceased from labor on the seventh day. There's something interesting that is said in Exodus 31 and verse 17. We'll come back to this passage in a latter point, but for now, verse 17, we're told that the Sabbath, it is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. Another way of saying that was refreshed, it could almost be said that he caught a breath in the Hebrew. Now, why does it say that? It's certainly putting it in human language so we can understand. But we're not to read into this that God in any way was tired and needed some period of recuperation. God doesn't get tired. He is all powerful. And even the work of creation didn't zap any of his strength. But rather, again, put in human language, it tells us that God paused after his work of creation. He paused in a sense to now observe and look at the work that he had done, even to evaluate it and to enjoy it. Remember, we're told in Genesis chapter 1 that he looked and saw the work of creation and said it was all very good. It was all very good. And there is a note here of delight in God in what he had made. And so at least in part, I think that that's what was happening on the seventh day. God was delighting in what he had made. Now, in a similar way, Adam was to cease from his work and catch his breath. Perhaps even in Eden, there was a danger of being so caught up in work that one would never stop and pause and reflect. Well, God gave Adam time to stop. God gave him time to evaluate what he was doing and also to enjoy the fruit of his labor. Now, if that was needed for Adam in an unfallen world, how much more is that needed for us? Life goes on at such a rapid pace. Often there is no time to slow down. Just one activity after the next. No time to pause and smell the roses. No time to pause and contemplate life. No time to stop and think about what is important. Why are we doing this? Where are we headed? But you see, in this provision God has given us time to stop. He's actually commanded us at times, stop. Once a week, after 6 days of labor, God says, stop. Not only was that needed for Adam, but how much more for us? God knew, perhaps even of unfallen man, that we could be just swallowed up in activity. Swallowed up in the present, the here and now. And forget the reason for it all. Forget why we're doing what we're doing. And I think this really does sum up our world. Feverish activity. Never stopping to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? What am I achieving? Where am I headed? What are my ultimate goals in life? And so we rush on, not knowing where we're headed. And it's frightening to think what Scripture tells us, that where actually people are headed is to judgment, to stand before God and to answer for their lives. But no one ever seems to stop to ask the question, where am I headed? What's going to happen when I arrive at the end of my life? So even in the unfallen world, this time to stop was necessary. But there are two further points under this first heading that I want to draw out. And the first is about our relationship with God. Really, both of these points focus on the fact that the Sabbath was more than simply ceasing from labor. More than that. It was about our relationship with God. And it was also about our relationship with others. So first, the Sabbath was more than just stopping work for a time. It was intended by God to contribute to the furtherance of and development of our relationship with God. Time to stop working, but not to be idle. Time to stop working to spend with God. The word holy that is used in the command, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, to keep it set apart. Now, as we read through the Old Testament, we come across this word holy often, particularly when it refers to special days or special people or special objects. It refers to those things being set apart from normal everyday activity to sacred use, or set apart from the ordinary, set apart to God. And so that's what it means to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. This is God's day, and this day for us to spend with God. Some people seem to think that this day is simply about physical recuperation or mental recuperation. But that does not seem justifiable in the light of the fact that this Sabbath day was given in an unfallen world. We need more than simply physical rest. We do get a measure of it, of course, every time we go to bed. But what we need more than physical rest is spiritual rest. We need time with God. Some further respond by saying, well, that's true, we do need time with God, but surely every day is to be a day with God. And that is true. We don't live 6 days apart from God and one day with God. But God gave this special day so that we can spend with Him in an undistracted way. Not rushing about, not busy, not a thousand things on the mind. And to spend extended time with God. Not just a small portion here and there. Sometimes couples, husband and wife, need time alone, just the two of them. Sometimes families need this as well. They need a break, they need a holiday, they need to go and spend some time together. It helps their relationship. And it's no different with God. We need time alone, in a sense, with God. Time apart with God. Time to focus on God. Extended time with Him, not just rushing about with other things on our mind. And this serves to develop our relationship with God. That is one reason why He gave this day. Listen to what Isaiah says. This is a promise. It's actually God saying it. This is Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honourable, and honour it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. Here's the promise. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's an oath, it's a promise from God that if we delight in this day and use this day as He intended, we will delight in God Himself. Oh, it's here for our spiritual good, for our to advance our relationship with God. It's time apart from this busy world, this distracted world, time to come apart and be still before our God. But secondly, this day is not only about our relationship with God. It's also about our relationship with our spiritual family. Our spiritual family. Turning to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 is a chapter that summarizes the various feasts of Israel. Those feasts that Israel was to celebrate on a yearly basis. Well, most of them on a yearly basis, but it includes the Sabbath, which was a weekly feast. Let us read from Leviticus 23, 2 and 3. He says, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations." My appointed times are these. Now, the word convocation just means a meeting, a gathering. So let's read verse 3. For six For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation, a holy meeting together, gathering. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. So here it is. The Sabbath is listed as the first feast of Israel. It's a day of joy. It's a day of gathering. It's a day of rejoicing together. The Sabbath day was given so that we, as God's people, can meet together. It provides time in the week where we are not busy. We not have a full diary. We have time apart. We can gather together as God's people, and we can grow together. We can grow in our relationship with one another. We can grow in love. We can build one another up. And so we have this instruction in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The writer says this, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. It's a general command. Let us consider how to do that, to stir one another up to love and good deeds. Well, how does he suggest we do that? Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the day of Christ's return. Oh, there's a note of urgency here. Meet together. Encourage one another. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. This day has been given to us so we may meet that objective. A day for meeting with God, a day for meeting with God's people. And many people argue that yes, while there is a Sabbath, in the Old Testament, it fell on the seventh day of the week. It was the Friday night to the Saturday. But now in the New Testament, that part of the command is no longer obligatory. And so they follow through that now we can choose whichever day we want. But I would suggest that would defeat one of the purposes of the Sabbath, that is that we can meet together. If I have my Sabbath on Monday and you have your Sabbath on Tuesday, and another brother or sister has it on Wednesday, how are we ever going to come together to encourage each other and build one another up? No, I don't think that is at all what God intended. And in fact, historically, most Christians have agreed that God has chosen a day. And he chose the resurrection day for that purpose. And so we read of the believers meeting together on the first day of the week. So we do have a day, the first day now of the week, the day of Jesus' resurrection. And so we come to the end of this first point. And I hope we can see that we do need a Sabbath. You need a Sabbath. God made a Sabbath for man, for you, for your good. It is God's gracious provision for you. He knew you would have a need that you would not even realize. And he made this day so that you could come aside from a busy life and stop. He's given you one day in seven. 6 days you shall labor, one set apart, one holy, one not to be touched, not to be treated as common. And we need that day. And we need the whole day. We need more than just an hour or two for worship. It's not sufficient to spend with our God, nor spend with one another. God has given us a day. We need a day. Take a day. And may the Lord bless us as we do so, and may we see how wonderful it is, how kind of God to give us such a day to stop, a day to spend with each other, but more amazingly, a day that God calls his own, a day that he has set apart so that you and I might meet with him. In a sense, we could say it this way. He's made an appointment with us. He's written it in his diary that we are going to come and meet with him on this day once a week. What an amazing gift. What a provision. Let us praise our God for it. Let us turn now to our second point. And these last two points will be briefer. The Sabbath reminds us that we are a set apart people. The day has been set apart, but also it reminds us that we have been set apart by God. In Exodus 31 and verse 13, we read these words. But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I have set you apart for myself. This is one of the purposes why they are to keep this day, so that they will know this fact about themselves. One of the main dangers that Israel faced as they were about to head into the land of Canaan. Of course, in Exodus, they hadn't yet gone into the land of Canaan, but they were soon to go. And one of the main dangers they faced was losing their identity as the people of God. And though there are many ways that that danger presented itself, in idol worship and intermarriage and all of that, but throughout all of these different ways this danger presented itself to them, the overarching thing was that they could become assimilated with these people. In other words, there may be a time when there is no difference between Israel and the Canaanites. And so God gave this command to them before they'd even entered into that land. I've given you this that you might know. It's a sign to you that I am the Lord who has sanctified you or set you apart. You are different. You are my people. You are different from the Canaanites and all the other nations that are around you. Now, need I tell you, brothers and sisters, we face the same danger. We face the same danger. We have the same privilege. We have been sanctified by our God. We've been separated by Christ. We are told we've been called out of the world and to Christ. And he says to us, you are my people. We no longer belong to this world. And yet, we still very much face pressure to conform to this world so that in the end we lose our identity as the people of God. Paul warned the Romans, the Roman believers in Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world." And some have expressed this idea as, "Do not be pushed and squeezed into the mold of this world." That's the constant pressure that you and I face. Just being swept up with the world, carried with the tide, going with the crowd. One remedy we have for this is the Sabbath. It reminds us that we are different, that we have been set apart from this world. Now, we may appear as we come together as strange to this world. What are they doing? Setting apart a day, not working on a day, not doing this, not doing that, because it's the Sabbath day. They may look at us as if we've got two heads. But in reality, we are strange. We are odd. We are strangers in this world. We don't belong. Or as some translations put it, we're aliens. We look like we're from another planet. On this day, we come apart from the activities of this age. We do things that really don't belong at all to this world. We gather as the people of God who belong to the Lord Jesus, who have been purchased by Him, by His shed blood. We come together as family. We come together calling one another brothers and sisters. We gather together as a family into the Lord's presence to together spend time with Him. We come apart because He has set us apart. And that reminds us, this day reminds us who we are, what our identity is. This day reminds you that you are different from this world. God has taken you. He's laid His hand upon you. Christ's blood has been shed for you. You belong to Him. He's purchased you. You no longer belong to this world. The Sabbath day reminds us of this fact. If we lose this day, we lose something that marks us as a different people. And as a result, we become more and more conformed to this world, its values, what it considers important. Take, for example, if we work on the Sabbath day, what are we saying? We're saying that work is more important than meeting with God. That's a value of this world. Or if we say, well, I'm not going to worship today because I'm going to go and watch this sporting game. What are we saying? We're saying that this sporting game at this point is more important to me, more enjoyable to me than meeting with my God. Again, that's a value of this world. Or again, I can't set this day aside on this Sunday because we've got a family gathering. Again, that's suggesting that physical family is more important than spiritual family, more important than the living God, even if it's just for that day. Again, we're being conformed to the values of this world. Because that's exactly what this world believes. If we neglect this day, then before too long, we're conformed to this world and the way it lives. we lose this day, and before too long, we are no different than the world. And we forget what Christ has made us to be, his unique people. We become, like happened to those Israelites long ago, we become assimilated to the world and to its pattern of life. So the Sabbath reminds us, week by week, you are different. You've been set apart. You belong to Jesus. He's purchased you with his blood. Let's move then to the last point. And it's this, that the Sabbath reminds us that we are people of another world. The Sabbath reminds us that we are a people of another world. Not only have we been set apart from this world, but we've been given citizenship in another world. Hebrews chapter 4. In this passage, the writer of Hebrews is drawing parallels between the experiences of the children of Israel as they were brought out of Egypt and passed through the desert to the promised land, and the similarities between them and us. We have been delivered from bondage to sin and Satan. We're now passing through a desert land, and we're on our way to our final resting place. Hebrews 4, 9 to 11 says this, So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. The Sabbath day reminds us that there is a Sabbath rest ahead. It points us to that reality, but also it's a foretaste. It's not just a sign with an arrow and points us to the future. It is a feast day, and in a sense we're able to sample some of the dishes that will be presented in full when we finally arrive at our destination. Heaven, brothers and sisters, is our destination. That's where our home is. That's where our citizenship is. That's where you belong. You do not belong here. You belong there. But of course, we're not there yet. We are like these Israelites traveling through the desert on their way to their homeland. But along this way, along this road, this long, hard, challenging, sometimes twisty road, along this road, God has given us rest stops, pit stops. Along the way, we have these stops to refresh us spiritually, when we're spiritually weary, and to remind us of our destination. This is one purpose of the Sabbath. It reminds us that we're on this journey, and Sabbath by Sabbath, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, We get a little rest, so to speak. Not a full rest by any means, but a taste of that rest. We're refreshed. We come into God's presence. We behold our God, even though it is but like, as Paul says, a mirror dimly. But nevertheless, we see something of him, something of his beauty, something of his glory that again reinvigorates us and stirs us and gives us that energy that we need to go back out into the next week and tackle all the trials and temptations that we will face. But we're reminded, here is not our home. This is just one step further along this road. How vital this is for us, how vital. Because I think that the world wants you and me to live as if this life is the only thing there is. Certainly, that is the teaching of the world at present. This life is everything. This life is all there is. And this is what the world wants you to believe. This is what Satan wants you to believe. Everything in this world tells us about the importance of the present, but not the future. As we begin our day, we wake to much activity for most of us. Many important things, most of which, probably almost all of which, relate to now. All the things we have to do, of course, except for reading the scriptures and prayer, which we should be doing every day. But apart from that, most of the things, they're have-tos. We've got to do them now. We've got jobs to do. We've got money to earn. We've got bills to pay. And all of these things can and have a tendency to direct our mind down to the now, down to what has to be done. And all so important because life here and now is important. In fact, it's so important you do these things because this life is all important. We come perhaps to the end of the day, we sit down and we maybe catch up on the news. And we hear about all these things that are happening now, all these big and important things. It's all about now. It's all about, well, right now, it's all about the virus that is spreading now and that are infecting people now. We may stop in the midst of this pressure to think about today, to stop for a moment and think about our future. But even when we do that, it's only our future in this world. There is very little in this life that we live that reminds us of our destination. There's very few people in this world that will remind you about your destination. And so with all this pressure, this cramming into our thinking about the now, before too long, that's all we're thinking about. And perhaps it's all we're living for. At times we may think of the eternal, but it all seems so unreal, like a fairy tale. It has no substance. It's just a sort of unreal, ethereal wish. But here is where the Sabbath again is so vital for us, because it reminds us about what is most important. It tells us about what life is here for. It reminds us of our destination. It gives us a foretaste even of that destination so that all of our desires are stirred up for this eternity, this everlasting feast in the presence of God, beholding the Lamb who was crucified for us. Nothing else there in the world's going to remind you of these things. But the Sabbath day is there so you can be reminded. Indeed, you can fill your mind with these things. And as a result of the proper use of the Sabbath day, it not only reminds us that they are real, in a sense, it makes them real. Makes them real in our lives. Brings them to the forefront of our mind and helps us to see clearly that all of this important stuff that is happening around us is but temporary. And in one sense, it is unreal because it is temporary. It will be like the cloud that passes. You look up in the sky, you see the cloud, in a moment it's gone, and it's gone forever. And we can see clearly again how all these really important things are actually not as important as they claim. Brothers and sisters, God has given us this Sabbath day for this purpose. It reminds us that we are a people of another world. We are people of the future. We are people of a world that is an undying world, where death will be no longer, when the temporary will give way to the eternal. That is the world that you belong to, if you're a child of God. That's your home. And every week you need this reminder, this day set apart to remind you that that's where you belong. And so we've seen in our time together, we've seen the need for a Sabbath day. We've seen that it reminds us that we are set apart. We've seen that it reminds us that we are people of another world. Brothers and sisters, this day is a gift from our God. And you and I ought to thank our God for it. Thank our God that He has given us a day set apart to spend with Him, to spend with His people, a time to stop, a time to remember who we are, a time to remember where we belong. I would urge you, therefore, to make use of this day. We neglect it to our own harm. We need it. It affects our life more than we know. If we neglect this day, it has such a shaping influence upon us. We become worldly people. If we use this day appropriately, it is a help to us to become more heavenly minded people. My friends, if we neglect this day, it is a sign of our great pride, as if we know better than the living God who created all things. It is also ingratitude to God who has given us such a wonderful gift. And it is also disobedience. Disobedience, because we've been commanded in the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment has told us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Therefore, brothers and sisters, remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Even in lockdown, lockdown doesn't change that this is the Lord's day. Satan and the world want you to forget. because they want you to be conformed to this world. Oh, resist that pressure to become conformed. Be a different person. Be different from this world. Be a set-apart person. Remember the Sabbath day. Be a person of the future. Be a person that, while considering the events of life as important, they're nowhere near as important as the life that you will one day live in the new heaven and the new earth. Be a person of the future and delight in this day. Delight in this day. And as Isaiah 58 has told us, if you delight in this day, if you use this day properly in the way that God has intended, then you will delight in your God. Ah, for a day. When we come together as the children of God, even here in this world, we're all gathered with great joy, delighting in our God. Oh, what a foretaste of heaven. Because that is how heaven is described in Revelation. The people of God gathering around the throne of God with joy and delight, singing his praises. Let us praise God that we have such a foretaste. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you. An amazing God. What a wise God. What a kind God. You've given us such a day. Lord, we pray that we would make use of this day. We do have to confess that we've failed. Failed in our practice, failed in our attitude. Some may have just disregarded this day. Others have had a more Pharisaic attitude observing the day, but reluctantly. Lord, forgive us for our sin and help us to come humbly before you, our God, and to love your commands. As David said, that he loved your law, and certainly this is part of your law. May we love it. May we delight in your day. Use it properly that we might delight in you. Hear us, our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now. Be thou my vision, supreme in my heart. That's really what we've been speaking about in the sermon today. So it's a fitting way to end. Our God, we thank you. We thank you for the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, the Christian Sabbath, the day that Jesus rose from the dead as victor over sin and Satan and death. And we thank you that because of Jesus, we are now people of the future, and we shall be where he is. We thank you for that wonderful hope we have, and we thank you for the weekly reminder. And may we carry that into the week ahead. Lord, may we be a people who are reminded constantly that we belong to you, that we do not belong to this world, and that we have an eternal home. Go with us, strengthen us by the power of your Spirit, and for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.